Amen. Well, last week we were talking about what Abraham brought on us. Amen. His blessings become our blessings through Christ. And you know, we don't have to be Jewish. We receive all the blessings through Christ. And tonight I want to go a little different direction. Not that that subject was exhausted by all means, but I want to talk about keeping your peace. Amen. I mean, just all the weird stuff going on, we need some peace, don't we? We need to be able to have some peace. And why don't we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And there's just a lot of weird stuff out there, and it doesn't mean, I always like to have what we call eternal perspective. What it is we see things from an eternal perspective. We don't look at things at the now. You know, there's a lot of people that they will change their perspective. They will change things on what the news says, and it goes from day to day, right? And if we're going to stick with the Word and with God, we never change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes, and we should never change. Now, we're going to obviously change, right? Every year that goes by, we change. So we're going to see physical changes, but as far as our thought processes, and we should learn and develop and grow, and we're all still learning and growing and developing. Nobody's arrived. So, but we should stay consistent with God, right? There's just a thing where I don't understand everything, and you don't either, and we don't, but we know that God understands everything, and He sees the beginning from the end. And so we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and it starts and it says, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. Adrian's been getting on me because I'm a King James guy, okay? And I got to kind of mix things up a little bit. So everything I memorize is from the King James. So if you hear some things slip out, King James is very good. I'm not downing that, but just trying to get some other translations in here. I was at a trade show one time. I already told this before, but it was just, I was in Pennsylvania, Hershey, Pennsylvania. They make the chocolate there, right? And it's really, everybody been to Hershey, Pennsylvania before? It's really cool. They got the lights that have Hershey Kisses, all the lampposts and stuff. Anyway, so I went there. It was about this time of year I went there, so you know, it wasn't really exciting. It was all, you know, snowy like it is right now, obviously. So I went there, went to the museum and all that stuff. But I was at a trade show, and this lady, she walked up to me and she says, well, because what we would do, these folks would have cards and you'd have to go around every booth. And I was working for Kenneth Hagin's ministry at the time, Faith Library Publications. And so we were selling, you know, to other vendors and other bookstores and things like that, books. And you'd have a card, you have to go stamp everything around, you know, and, you know, go to each booth. And then at the end of it, they give you a little prize or something like that. So this lady came up to me, real religious looking, and she says, well, I'm here to, you know, and you were supposed to give them your specials and what was going on and all these other things. And this lady came up to me, she got in my face. She goes, I need my card stamped, but I don't believe a word you people preach. I'm like, hey, no problem. Let me share the things. And we have this is the Bible right here. So it's a little been under the weather here. But this is one of the Rhema Bibles that I have. But it's King James. This lady was a King James only. She opened it up. And what translation is this? I said, oh, that's King James. Oh. Well, okay then. You know, you just cannot fathom that God, you know, would allow. I mean, Jesus spoke in King James, by the way. I just want you to know that. You know, Jesus did speak in old King James English, so. No, I'm kidding. Those people are like, did you know the pastor said? I have people walking out of here thinking, oh, he spoke in King James. No, he didn't. But anyway, so it goes on. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasonings and to destroy false arguments. Now again, these are thought processes, right, we're dealing with. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. So, if we read it, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to read it out of the King James because I like, there's just sometimes other different translations, they just bring some things out and it just kind of, I don't know, makes me happy. Okay? How can I do that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 10, And I'll start in verse 3 again, and it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, strongholds here, in this other translation we just read, it is human reasonings, isn't it? Strongholds of human reasoning. Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." How many have had something exalt itself against the knowledge of God this week against you? Right? Well, hello? If you've got carnal, gray matter or white matter between the ears, you're going to deal with something this week. We all do. Now, let me just say this. When you're tempted or you do have things, those opportunities present themselves to you, it doesn't mean you're bad, because Jesus was tempted in all ways, right? It just means, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to react to those things? And then it goes on, this Apostle Paul saying, and bringing captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So our struggle, there used to be an old show called with Flip Wilson, and he was going, "Well, the devil made me do it," right? Okay, I'm not that old. I mean, I'm just saying, I watch reruns, okay, all right? So, well, he's really that old? But, so there's a show, "The Devil Made Me." Well, the devil's not making you do anything. He's presenting things to you, isn't he? He's presenting thoughts, suggestions. He's presenting things. What did he do at the when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? He rose up out of the water, and it says the Holy Spirit, out of Mark chapter 4, led him into the wilderness. What happened after that? The devil presented thoughts to him, right? Because we deal with thoughts. That's all. That's all he has to do is he presents thoughts. He presents things for you to consider and to change, right? He didn't show up and say, "Boogity, boogity, I'm the devil and I'm going to take you out." No, it was subtle things, right? If you're the Son of God, what was he doing? He was testing whether or not he was secure in his deity or not, right? Right? So he came against him, and he knew that if I can get him to question his deity, if he really is the Son of God, because if I get him to question that, then that is going to derail his whole purpose, right? Because that's really the whole purpose Christ came. He was the Son of God to, as an assignment to go destroy the devil and to redeem us. If he could question who he was, which he does that to you and I all the time, right? Right. Are you really a Christian? Do you really believe that faith stuff? Oh, you're going to lay hands on him, nothing's going to happen. See, it's always presenting things to you to get you to question who you are and what you are, right? And then many people walk off and they'll think that, again, Christianity is about, there is a God side and a man side. The Bible outlines the God side and the man side. We get confused sometimes. We think we got to do God's job, but we're not. We need to stay on our lane and do our job. And what is our job? To combat thoughts, because, many people, especially in the religious realm, they're going to come and they're going to say, "Oh God, take these thoughts away from me." Jesus did not pray the devil away from him, did he? He did not. He dealt with the devil, and then what happened after that? He left for a season. Why did he leave for a season? Because the word was coming at him. The sword. Two-edged sword, right? And so, when we see those things, that barrage of things coming against us, we need to take a stand. So there are certain things the Bible tells us to pray for, and there's things that we do not pray for, we just take authority over. So there's these things, right? I don't need to pray if it's God's will for me to be saved. I know that it's God's will for me to be saved, because I see in Timothy, it's God's will that all men come to repentance. I don't need to pray about those things, right? I don't need to pray about sickness and disease. Is it God's will for me to be healed? We know in Acts 10:38 that he came to, destroy the works of the devil, but then also too, let's turn there real quick. I just want to read it. Acts 10:38. Because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing some, if it was God's will. No. When God felt like it. No, it says he went about healing all. I don't really know, but every language, I'm pretty sure all means all, right? Whatever the translation is, all means all. That means everything. COVID, yes. AIDS, yes. The common cold, yes. It's all God's will for you to be healed. Amen. We don't need to question it. We don't need to go back, "Well, is it God's will for me to be healed?" No, what happens is somebody didn't connect with God, and then they're blaming it on God. See, it's really easy, the religious folks and the religious mindset, to throw everything off on God, right? Because what happens is then we we lose all responsibility on everything, right? Well, it's just God's will that we didn't get healed. Well, it's God's will that that person got in a car accident. Well, it's God's will that this happened. It's God's will that happened. That is garbage. Yeah. It's life from the pit of hell. Why is it life from the pit of hell? Because now we don't actively engage in anything. We just take whatever happens and go, sarah, sarah, it's just God's will. And then we become lazy. And that takes us off the hooks. It's better to blame God for everything because then I don't have any personal responsibility, right? And it's easy for us to go back, well, you know, I said it before, my grandpa was a ornery cuss and he drank and smoked like a chimney. And then at the funeral, it's like, well, God took him. No, he drank and smoked like a drunken sailor. He abused his body. Well, God took him. No, he's a drunk. He drank himself to death and he smoked like a chimney and he ended up with cancer and he died. Well, God had nothing to do with it, right? You know? Amen. Sorry. Kicking over some sacred cows tonight. Philippians chapter 4. You're going to love me or hate me. That's just the whole thing. You know, people, they love me or they hate me. You're just going to be in one ditch or the other. And I love you all. So, anyway. Because I have to and I like to, right? So, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 says, always, here we go. We're going to get some good stuff, right? We're going to get some shouting stuff. Because if you get in the word long enough, yeah, you'll have ouch long enough. Brother Hagin, you say, oh me or oh my, one of the two, right? So we were presented with something. It's how we're going to receive it or not. And so it says, always being full of joy in the Lord. Now, is every situation you have going to be full of joy, right? You know, when sickness tries to come up on you, is that just a party or what? No, it's not. It just, oh, this is great. I'm sick. I'm throwing up every... No, it's not. But you know what? We're supposed to count all joy, right? No matter what we're going through. Why? Because we know there's victory on the other side. Amen? Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Here we go. Verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. It doesn't say go around blabbing your problems to everybody, right? Right? Oh, my aching back. Oh, this is awful, terrible. I've been around those people before. There was a lady in our church years ago, and you talked to her about everything, you know, and you'd say, hey, how are you? Her name is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, how's it going? It's just awful. It's just terrible. And, you know, I was on antidepressants before I got done talking to her. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is awful, terrible. This is, you know, nothing was joyful. Everything was terrible, awful. Life was crummy. It was just awful. No. Do you know we do have an effect on other people around us? You know, we can affect the atmosphere. I mean, think about Jesus. Everything he went, everywhere he went, he impacted everything. In verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. God, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and, where we go, minds as you live in Christ. Verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. See, we don't take time to control our thoughts, do we? Thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, I was interesting about the Bible because when you study the Bible, you'll see things. It's very important in order. God, everything's often in order. You'll see order of things, right? And it's very important to see those steps. You know, we can take the scripture and just take the very last part and say, then God, the God of peace will be with you. God of peace is going to be with me all the time. Wait a minute, there's some prerequisites though. Ever notice that? Stuff just didn't, this is a problem with Christianity. A lot of Christians is we think that, and I just say this, when I was in years ago as a kid, the end result was getting saved, right? It was like when somebody got saved, it was like, woo, we had this big, yay, we're celebration. And it was like as if that was the end. But that's the beginning. And we have everything backwards. I'm looking back and I'm thinking, we had everything backwards in the body, you know, in the church. That's a celebration, but that's your starting point, right? That's where you're born again. That's a, to me, when you're born, that's a beginning. When we're born again, that's a starting place to move forward. So we think about things. In order for us to have the peace of God in us, we need to, what do we need to do? Fix our thoughts on what is true, right? I mean, if you're thinking about garbage and watching garbage, you know, you ever heard that term, gigo? Garbage in, garbage out. If you're not meditating on those things, you're gonna reap the garbage. Well, I'm just so depressed. Well, are you talking about depression? Yeah. Are you watching depressing things? Yeah. Well, you know, are you thinking about good things? No. Well, then if you're meditating on garbage and you're all these other things, your mind is gonna go with it. Here's something. You know, thoughts precede words, precede actions, precede destinations. Right? It all starts with thoughts. You know? I was in this one time, I was doing investments and things like that, and this guy that I work with was talking about, well, I was encouraging him. He was a manager of some other, you know, doing some other financial stuff. And I said, hey, you know, you should do this and, you know, get your, you know, go security licenses and, you know, maybe get an investment. So everything is well. And the thing was that the firm and the company that I work for, when you take tests, all of the upper management sees it. So you see executives all the way up to the president, and they would see your results on tests, because you have to take tests to do these things. And, not very many people passed him, but I encouraged him. I said, you need to do this, and I think you'd be really good at it. And his whole thing was like, and he came back and he said, well, I'm scared because if I fail, then all these people are going to see that I failed. I said, well, don't do it then. Just don't even waste your time, right? Because he had the vision that he was going to fail. So don't even waste your time. Why don't you mean, what, you know, I just dropped it because I thought, if you've got a failure mentality before you even start it, what's the point? You know, because you're going to be self-fulfilled prophecy. You're going to say these things, you're going to do these things, and you're going to experience these things, right? Now, they're studying other things like that, but when he said that, I thought, it's over. There's no need for even to do it anymore. And he has never done it. But the point is, what we think comes out of our mouth, then it becomes action, then it becomes, that's our destiny. And so, you know, it all proceeds. So that's where the devil wants to focus on your thought life, is because if he can snuff you at the thoughts, then he's got everything else taken care of, right? I mean, he has people that wake up and it's like, they just don't wake up and go, I'm going to commit adultery today, right? I'm going to murder somebody today. I'm going to go rob a bank today. No, there's a process that has led up to that. This isn't just something that just happens. There's either some baggage that has happened, some things that have happened, there's some meditation that's been going on. It's just people just don't decide to do something. There's a pattern involved that gets us from point A to point Z and all points in between. And it's thinking is where it begins, speaking, doing, and then things happen, right? Romans 8:31. Am I boring you tonight? So if we're going to have peace in our life, we've got to take responsibility for it. God has given us the peace. But there's some prerequisites. Everything in the Bible, there are prerequisites. And what happens is we as Christians, we think that we're born again. We're on this rah-rah train. And you know, you ever have like a favorite sports team or something? You know, and they win and you're a fan of theirs. You're like, man, we won that game. Well, you weren't anywhere around it, right? And then they lose, and they're like, they stink. They lost that game. You know, all of a sudden, the winners, you're on the winning team. But they lose. No, it's them. They're the ones that lost. But in this, the word is presented to us to be able to take things and to move on to the next level and to run with God and to experience things. We don't experience things because we're not working the word, right? Now, I believe God can have mercy. I remember, oh, geez. After Adrian and I got, when I got rededicated my life and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, there was just such a mercy God had on me. Because I was like a baby, you know. I was getting my life dedicated to Him. God just had so much mercy on me. Then later, the Lord's like, okay, you need to grow up some. You need to kind of take the Pampers off. Let's, you know, move forward here. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to have a victory mentality. right? Because if you really believe God is with you, you're going to act like it. I don't see Jesus anywhere in the scripture questioning God's authority when he walked with him. Well, I'm not sure. Ooh, boy. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It's all going to start with our thinking, guys. It's all going to start with our thinking. Again, your thinking is going to produce words. You're going to speak those words out. It's going to eventually become actions, and then things are going to happen. And it will affect your destiny. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of that the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So, you are not free to carry out your good intentions. The Apostle Paul says, I don't do what I want to do, but then do what I don't want to do. So, the Apostle Paul addressed that I am doing things often. I'm struggling often to stay. You know, there's that struggle going on within the Apostle Paul throughout his walk with God. Now, you know, so am I just the only one? Have you ever experienced things where you have something you're wanting to do, and you know it's not right, or you want to do things, and sometimes it's a struggle. You know, there's the right choice or doing the right thing. That's what the Bible's talking about here. I remember years ago, long, long time ago, I would, be playing in a band or doing whatever, and I was drinking all night, and then I was so convicted. See, the Holy Spirit was... See, here's the thing. I was born again when I was a little kid, but I would have supernatural encounters with God. I would begin to see... I saw things in the spirit realm. One time, the very last gig that I did, I was in this very ungodly, we were playing, and then I was at this other place. It was extremely ungodly, but as I was there, I saw spirits manifesting on people, and I heard the Holy Spirit like speak to me in an audible voice, like, "This is it, you're done." And that was the last time that I ever went out with them. But the point is, as I was sitting, the Lord opened my spiritual eyes and I saw things. What's he doing? He's having mercy on me. And so oftentimes I would be in, it was like, have you ever heard the testimony of Jesse Duplantis, right? Where he'd be in bars and things like that and God would speak to him audibly. I had that happen to me. So when I listen to Jesse Duplantis, I'm like, I know where he's coming from. It sounds crazy, but I remember exactly where I was sitting and I was watching the bartenders, and it was so sad because then I saw these things manifest on them, and I saw in the spirit realm, and the Lord was like pulling me back into things. And as I would be, you know, completely, you know, just going on all night drinking, and I would have to say to somebody, "I got to go to church," right? Because I was so convicted. I was this scripture right here. It was like, I knew what I had to do, but my flesh was so out of control that, and I had addictions at that time, and I was so out of control that I had to get somebody to take me to church. Like, I had to be there. And so, you know, and I know, you know, people with addictions, they deal with these things, but the point is, I had such conviction, God was pulling me the whole time to come over here, and I had to get to church, right? It didn't matter what kind of shape I was in, I couldn't hardly walk through the doors, but I had to be there. Because the conviction was so bad on my life. Amen? And I thank God for that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm not proud of that stuff. But the point is, I can look back and say, where God brought me from here, and he brought me here, thank God. Amen? And that, you know, the whole time he was wooing me back. Even when you're missed the mark, he's still pulling you back, right? Because he's a gentleman. He's lovingly pulling you back, going, no, I got better plans for you. Mm-hmm. And see, my whole thought process is, I mean, at that time, it was like, I mean, I just thought, man, I'm having a good time. You know, this is what I'm doing. And anyway, but God had other plans for me. See, my thinking, right, back on what we were just talking about, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But I wasn't dealing with a carnal warfare. I was dealing with a spiritual warfare, right? Something that was attacking my mind, thinking this is what you are. And God's saying, oh, no, you're not. This is who you are over here. This is what I need you to do over here. And I had no interest in ministry. I was like, oh, gosh. The thought of pastoring was like, oh, you know. For me, pastors were just, you know, these old guys walked around patting little babies and, you know, going eating Sunday dinners with people and stuff. And that was like, no, it's not me. So God's got a great sense of humor, yeah. Verse 18, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And in verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, and it goes through all of those. So again, thoughts produce words, which produce actions. So when we look at this whole list of the King James calls it the works of the flesh, it starts somewhere, doesn't it? Again, people aren't just going to go, oh, I'm going to get into sorcery today. Just, you know, you don't think about those things. Oh, I'm going to cause some division today. No. But it starts with the thought process. Verse 22, here's where I want to get to. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. So the Holy Spirit is going to produce these things in our life. Why? Because that's His nature. I like to say this: the fruits of the Spirit, which are the byproducts of the Holy Spirit, this is the bundle we get when we're born again. Because that nature now is in us. We see there according to, you could turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So again, we've got a decision to make as far as if we're going to be in peace or not. You ever been around, again, those people, you can say, well, this is a beautiful day. Oh, I got so much stuff to do. Oh my goodness, I got so much stuff to do, right? You say, well, these kids are a blessing. Oh, these kids are just awful, terrible. I just can't wait till they move out, right? So there's two perspectives there, right? I mean, some person go, oh, the kids are just a blessing. I love kids. Oh, they're just blessings from God. They're terrible. It's awful, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want to read it, and that's a King James. I want to read it in the New Living Translation, and it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Now, I was listening, one time, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, was talking, And he made a great point. Now it's all, you know, oh gosh, you even talk about this. It's just something. But he's talking about, you know, I don't have to. It's like when you're a man, you're a man. It's not like you have to. I don't get up in the morning and go, oh, am I a man? Or am I a human? Or am I a person? No, you don't. It's just what I am, right? And the same way with born again. When you're born again, that's who you are. I don't have to think about anything. It's like, well, am I born again? Am I this? Am I that? Like the devil tries, especially when you just get born again. And you enter the kingdom of God and you're doing these things. This is all the time. You know, that's why I see folks that they get into the church, they get into things, and then they disappear to, you know, a month later or whatever, is because the devil's come along often. The devil's come along and lied to him and said, well, that's probably not real. You didn't experience anything, blah, blah, blah. You're probably not born again. You don't feel like it. Well, yeah, I don't feel anything different. I mean, I'm still, you know, look in the mirror and yeah, but anyway, but I still look in the mirror, and I'm still the same person, right? Nothing changed. But the Bible, why do I believe it? Because the Word tells me I'm a new creature. I don't have to think about things, right? Here's something that's interesting. And, you know, especially we're all in all of the identification propaganda with, you know, with do you identify with this gender or whatever. And this is going to kind of solidify, so just hold on with me here. I pulled up some information with this psychological site. But it's talking about the 12 biological differences between men and women. And then I'm going to follow up with the scripture, okay? So I just want this because I'm going to a point, so just hold on. Hold on to your bridges here, where we're going. So there's chromosomal differences. Besides, I love science. You know, people in the world will say, well, those Christians, they just avoid science. No, what most science we're seeing is propaganda, okay? There's nothing scientific about what we're watching on TV a lot. There's no stat, there's no study, there's no debate, there's no discussion, there's no, examination of anything. It's just, you're just supposed to acknowledge all this garbage and take it. So, number one, there's 12 biological differences between men and women. First of all, there's chromosomal differences, okay? So that means a female has two chromosome X's and a male has one Y and one X, okay? So we are, the DNA of a man and a woman is completely different. So it doesn't matter what kind of surgery you do, you're still going to be a man. You're still going to be a woman, all right? So that's what it is, right? Another one is hormonal differences, obviously. There's also neurological and cerebral differences. So did you know that actually a man and a woman's brains are completely different? Meaning there are parts of a woman's brain, I don't even know how to pronounce this stuff. You can go read it yourself, but I'm just trying to shorten things up here. But there are sections of the cerebral brain of a woman that is larger than a man, and a man's portions of his brain are larger than a woman. So our brains, and also a woman has gray matter, and a man has white matter. So we don't even have the same matter in our brains often. Obviously, the physical plumbing of a man or a woman is obviously different. Our hormones are different. The weight, height, bone, and muscular mass are different. Fat distribution is different. Sweat and skin glands are different. The management of blood flow and body temperature is different. The mouth and larynxes are designed differently, and they're different. The heart and lungs are different. The males are obviously often bigger and structured slightly different. And then also sensory perception is completely different. So a man has greater depth of perception than a woman, but women often have better color perception and then also have greater angular vision and perception in darknesses better than men. So we are physically different, biologically different. Our DNA is completely different. Our organs are completely different. There's so much differences between men and women that my point is this. It doesn't matter what kind of surgery you're going to have. You're going to be completely different. In this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature. We are spiritual. Our spiritual DNA is completely different, right? I don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I just don't know if I'm born again or not, right? Well, you have a witness on the inside and you know what the Bible says, but we don't question those. And the devil wants, that's why the devil is so questioning. Are you really a man? Are you really a woman? I identify as this. Nope. If you're born this way, that's what you're born. It doesn't matter what you do. You are going to stay like that until the day you die or until Jesus comes back. So it's, scientifically, that's what you're going to be. When we're born again, and when we do, it doesn't matter what the devil says to us, we are born again. Our nature is changed if we've made that decision. That's a spiritual branding. And the scripture talks about we are spiritually circumcised. That means we are now have a new nature on the inside of us. It doesn't base on our feelings. It doesn't base on whether I feel depressed today or not or anything else too. If God says that you are now born again because you've received him as Lord and Savior, right? And what I mean, Lord, most people want him as Savior, but not Lord. So there's a big difference between that. You know, I want you to save me, Jesus, but I want to do my own thing. No, it doesn't go that way, right? It's like getting married and say, well, baby, I love you, but I'm going to stay over here while you live over here. And then, you know, we'll maybe talk once in a while. That's not a relationship at all. But the Bible says we're new creatures. So again, that's the beginning step understanding the revelation of righteousness, isn't it? So again, and I always like to think of it this way too. You know, people, you know, I like to go hunting. All right. And I want to, because when you hunt, you have what we call tags. So let's say I like to deer hunt. And you'll have a tag and it's buck or a doe. And I want to tell, so when I end up with just a doe tag, which means you only get a doe. I want to tell the DNR, no, this 15-point buck, he identifies as a doe, right. So it's okay. I can take him. I don't think that's going to not gonna work, is it? No. Hello. They're like, hi. Why don't you just go ahead and hand me your gun right now? We're going to give you, we're going to take a truck, by the way, and yeah, we'll just, why don't you go bye-bye for a while? Right, that's not going to work, is it? Okay? And so the devil, again, is going to lie to people and say, you're really not this. But I tell you, the peace of God is I'm born again. It doesn't matter what the devil says. I am a child of God. John, we'll do a few more here. We're never going to get through all this stuff. Well, I'll just, John 6:33 says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Again, how do we have peace? The qualifiers are we got to get our mind under control, right? We just read up there. We got to get our stinking thinking in line. Got to get our thoughts fixed on what's true, what's honorable, what's right and pure and lovely and admirable, right? And then think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I had a cousin one time that, you know, an aunt, and I was just, oh, just even when it was kids, it was so terrible. And she would just say, you're stupid. You're dumb. Everything just pounded in his head all the time, right? That he was just, oh, she'd get mad and just call him names and everything. And as a little kid, you're like, what? He was younger than me. And, yep, sure enough, he dropped out of high school. He did all these things. You know, everything. Why? Because those thoughts were put in his head, right? Those things were implanted in him. And what thoughts do? Thoughts, then words, then actions, and then destinies. Those things in order. And, you know, I mean, I still, you know, see him every once in a while. I mean, I haven't seen him for years or anything like that, too. But for what happened, he's doing well. Okay, I'll just say that. But again, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Again, peace comes when we get our mind under control, right? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have what? Overcome the world. Again, it comes back to that eternal perspective. If we know the beginning from the end, see, the devil wants you to get focused on the today, on the now, on the task. But if you could push beyond that and say, no, I see the victory. Christ has overcome. I am born again. I am an overcomer because Christ overcame. And the Bible says that I'm joint heirs with Christ. Romans 12:1-3. We'll end with this here. I got 12 endings, by the way. So is that okay? All right, I'm on my first ending. Romans 12:1-3 says, and so, as the New Living Translation, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Okay, what's that? Your body, right? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into the renewing and into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, when I was with Brother Hagin, oh my goodness, when I sit in class at Rhema, all the time, open your spirituality, open your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. I couldn't forget that if I forgot, you know. Every day you get up and you're like, dear Lord, is there something new today? And then he'd say something, you're like, wow, that was amazing. Because he'd use the same scripture all the time. You know, he'd start every class with that. Every class. I'm like, is that all he knows? You know, I know he didn't, but. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, the Apostle Paul told the people, Thessalonica, that the trichotomy, which is spirit, and I'm saying in this order, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts. Three parts. Now, most denominations and churches will only say soul and body. No, it's spirit, soul, and body. What did Paul talk about here? Let me list two of them. He listed your body, and then what did he say after that? Your thinking, which is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But he didn't mention spirit. Why is that? Because he took care of that, right? When you're born again. I can't get any more born again. Now I can feed my spirit, man, through the word, right? But I can't get myself born again. Jesus did that. But I do have control over my body. Right? Paul, as Apostle Paul just said right here. And I do have control over what I think. And those are the two things that I have control over that I can live a peaceable life, right? Live a quiet and peaceable life. Those two things. I can present my body unto him, and I get my stinking thinking under control. Those are the two things that I have under control, and I can live a quiet and peaceable life. Amen? Still love me?
Yeah.
I love you all. Amen. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it out of here.
Yes.
Nobody got hurt in the process.
<It's all good.
laughs> Amen. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time, these wonderful people, Lord. We give you glory and honor for everything you've done. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my prayer tonight is that we begin to press into you, Lord, our thinking changed, that we are overcomers because of Christ overcame. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We thank you for all you've done tonight. And Lord, brand us, change us forever, Lord Jesus. We move forward with you, Lord, to a new light, a new level, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Your words from the written, the Logos and the Rhema word, Lord, your spoken and written word would be in us, Lord God, and live big and through us, Lord Jesus, tonight and moving forward. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, have a great week, everybody. Hallelujah. Yeah.